Morning, today's daf and gittin ayin dalid. Thank you, Lupin Foundation, for sponsorship of the daf is learning with Zechon and Shmaslibe Gabriela Bashmuel. We are on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, but the two dots, so let's just chazer the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. If you go to turn back to Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, the Mishnah talked about how to conduct yourself between the get and the chalos haget. A man delivers a get to his wife. Unfortunately, he's ill. And he says, Mehayom, Imasi, this get will be effective immediately. But when I die, meaning the death is going to be a kima tanai on the get. So the Mishnah says that the get's going to be a valid get. The Mishnah wanted to introduce us to the basic principle of Ein Get Lachamisa. You can't give her a get. You can't deliver a get posthumously. But as long as the get is given before he died, and the death is just a tanai, it's just a condition. So the Mishnah said that's fine. So now you have a period of time which is awkward, which is undefinable. Meaning that, well, it is definable. We're gonna struggle to define it. He gave her the get, so that's an asinas haget. The kiyum is gonna occur later, but when the kiyum occurs, it's gonna move back retroactively to the time of the asina. So how do we view it going forward? Meaning, obviously, we can't work backwards. So going forwards, how do we view the status of their marriage from the nesina until the actual death? So the Mishnah started off by telling us on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph that they shouldn't have yichud bechlal. Don't seclude yourself. Always have shoshbanim, always have like people around, and they should not be in seclusion. Now, in terms of what a status is during that time, so the Mishnah brought down a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosi. Rav Yehuda was of the opinion that ish is ish. She's a married woman. Married woman to the point where, as Rashi explained back in the Mishnah, if she's mezana, if she has an adulterous affair, that's an adulterous affair with all the ramifications of adultery. If it's on b'mezid, it's a chenek. If it's on b'shogeg, a karban chatas. It is a, she's an ashes ish. And Rabbi Yossi says that she's megareshes and a megareshes. Okay, somewhere in limbo between being a divorcee and not a divorcee. Okay, Adkan, that was the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. The Gemara now is going to comment on this machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. We found ourselves on the two dots on the bottom of Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Mahi Bos and Yamin, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Keishas Ish, Lachol Devareha, Rabbi Yossi Amar Megareshes Vein Megareshes. So the Gemara presents once again the machlok as we see in the Mishnah. Tana. Now, the Gemara quotes a Braisa Uvovachi Amos. The Braisa just simply says two words. He's got to die. Now, he's got to die. Now, what is the Braisa introducing into this entire discussion? Of course he has to die, meaning that the get was only made conditional on the death. And in fact, the Gemara goes even one step further. The Gemara really doesn't understand the Braisa, because it sounds like from the Braisa that death is kind of like the causation of the divorce, meaning that the divorce will take place after the death. The Gemara says, and is that true? Meaning that the divorce is occurring at the time of death? In other words, in that area, come on, it's rule number one. And if it's not rule number one, it's up there in the basic principles of again Ein Get Lachamisa. So the Braisa can't mean that the get is going to be effective after he dies or at the death. It can't mean that. So I'm a rabba, but Omer Me'esha Ani Ba'olam. So Rabbah says, no, what the Braisa is teaching us is Me'esha Ani Ba'olam. Now here, a really important Rashi. Let's go through the Rashi inside. Umeshani Rabbah. Umeshani Amar Rabbah. Okay, so it's the second last Rashi. It's the last six, seven lines of the Amud. And Rashi writes, Masitzan Labba Omer Mehayom Imasi. So Rashi says, look, and by the way, what Rashi's saying over here, if you look at Rashi back in the Mishnah, it's the same point. Meaning, this is the second time Rashi's making this point, but now it's actually going off the Gemara. The Mishnah's not dealing with a scenario where he says, Mehayom. Can't be. Why? Rashi goes on to explain. Because there, if he said the word Mehayom, so that means that the get will be effective retroactive to the time of the Nesina. Because as he's giving it to her, he says, when do I want it to be effective? Today. It just won't be effective until I die. But retroactive to the point of when I gave it to you. Fine. And then, during that time period between the Nesina and the death, what we're gonna discover when he dies is that she was retroactively not a married woman. Let me be careful about how I say this. She can't be mezana. She can't commit adultery. But at the same time, if she does, it's not adultery. meaning Rashi over here uses the word pater, meaning she won't be liable for committing adultery because what we'll discover is that retroactively she's a single woman. Now, obviously going forward, you can't behave that way, but if you say mehayom, it's going to come back retroactive, and therefore she will be a single woman. Okay, so Ella, correct. Ella ba Omer me'esha ani ba olam lehave get. The case in the Mishnah must be dealing with the following scenario. He says this get will be effective, retroactive to the moment before I die. That's what the Mishnah is describing. Now, Hilkach, le Rav Yehuda, Samach le Misachal, Gito Mikara Eshes Ishi. So Rav Yehuda's position is it's very simple. Look, you're going to go to the point of Nesina, but that's not when the get is going to be Chal. And you're going to move forward until he dies. And now, the only time that she is not a married woman is only that moment before the death. Which means, according to Rav Yehuda, any time before that, she's absolutely a married woman. Not a suffik, absolutely a married woman. That's Rav Yehuda's viewpoint. And Rav Yossi Savar, Mishas Nesina Mesafka Lan Damazu Hishas Muchlamisa. Vehave get suffik, Vafagav de Chayitfei, Ein Breira. Okay, I'm going to try to explain this point of Rashi according to Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi's position is very interesting. He says that you can only operate moving forward. You can't operate moving backwards. Meaning as follows. You gave her the get. And you said to her, this get is going to be effective a moment before I die. Okay, now, we're only moving forward. Moving forward. This may be, we don't know for sure, but this may be the moment before death. You don't know. Every time you're approaching a new moment in the future, moving forward, this may be it. This may be the moment. So if she's Mizana now, was she an Ashesish or not? Well, we don't know, meaning moving forward. Right. Now, obviously, if I were to fast forward 10 minutes from now, and it turns out that I'm alive and well 10 minutes from now, so then yes, retroactively, it has proven that the get is not effective and she's a married woman. But again, according to Rav Yossi, we don't do that. According to Rav Yossi, we only operate in one direction, and that's forward. Going forward, this may be the moment. This may be. I may be alive 10 minutes from now. I may not be. So only going forward do we say, do we look at it? And that's what Rashi means when he says Ein Breira. Ein Breira means we do not have the luxury, you don't have to call it luxury, but we don't have the ability to then, after having moved 10 minutes forward, then look back and say, hey, you know what? She's a married woman. She's not a divorced woman. I made it through these 10 minutes. We don't do that. We only look forward. And so therefore, every moment, go looking forward, may be the moment of 10 minutes before I die. I'm just throwing 10 minutes out as a number. 10 minutes before I die. And so therefore, it's a suffix. She's a suffix, whether she may or may not have committed zinus. Okay. And it comes out now, according to Rashi, very interesting. Rashi basically says that in the giving of a get to his wife on the condition of death, there actually are two scenarios. One where he says mehayom, and one where he says sha'achas kodem isasi. What Rashi is telling us is that the Mishnah and the Gemara that we just learned together is only talking about where he says sha'achas kodem isasi. If he actually says mehayom, according to everyone, l'chuleama, it goes back retroactive to the time of the Nisnina. Just as an interesting discussion, which is right here on the daf. Actually, it's not. We're not going anywhere else. Davin HaMelech and Batsheva. So the Gemara discusses elsewhere how it is that he's having relations with a married woman. So the Gemara in general says regarding Davin Batsheva, Kol mi shomer David chote eino ala toa. You can't say that David made a mistake, meaning relative to the way we normally would look at such an action. Anyway, the Gemara discusses that the minhag back then was to write a get and give it to the wife before a soldier went off to war in the event that he died. He doesn't want her to follow Yibum. So therefore he would write a get, conditional, retroactive to the time of the writing. And the Gemara says that's what happened with Uriah and Batsheva. Uriah wrote a get to his wife, retroactive to the time of, right, conditional, retroactive to the time of the Nesina. So anyway, according to Rashi, it works out. Because according to Rashi, although our Mishnah says and the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Eishes Ish, and according to Rabbi Yossi, it's a Suffolk, but still, according to these Tanayim, meaning Batsheva was either married or Suffolk married. But according to Rashi, now it works out very well because I hope I'm explaining myself well. We're not whitewashing. Just simply in terms of explaining the halachic technicalities of how Batsheva is a single woman. According to Rashi, he said mehayom. Once you say mehayom, according to everybody, it goes retroactive back to the time of the Nesina Saget. That's how it would work out according to Rashi. Again, we're not going to go through the whole thing right now. Rabbi Natam disagrees fundamentally with Rashi in terms of how the get was given from the soldiers to their wives. You can see this Tosos. You don't have to go anywhere else. It starts on Ayin Gimel and Beis. It goes to the top of Ayin Dalet and Aleph. Machlokas Rashi and Rabbi Natam. How exactly the get was issued from the soldier to his wife before they went out to war. But anyway, all I'm doing is just explaining how it all works according to Rashi. I'm not going to answer you directly, but the Gemara's coming up in just a moment are going to kind of speak to that. Tana Rabbana, now we have a Braisa. This Braisa that we're about to learn is going to give four different opinions in terms of how to treat her during this period of time in terms of the responsibilities between husband and wife. So the Gemara starts off, Tana Rabbana, Yamim Shebein Tayim. The days in between, again, there was an Asinah Saget, there was a Tanai. The Tanai was conditional to the death. Okay, what during these days? So yamim shemintem baila zaka b'mitziyasav v'masiyedav v'afaras nederah v'yursha u'mitamei la. So according to the Tanakama of this Brisa, they are married with no married with all the responsibilities of a husband to wife. Number one, if she finds something, belongs to him. Masi Adara earnings belong to him. Hafaras Nadara, his ability to annul the vows, he has that. He inherits her. If he's a Kohen, he's going to be Metame for her because the Kohen is Metame for his wife. So basically, they're married. Now, Rabbi Katz, it doesn't really answer your question. And I'm just acknowledging. Meaning, really, the Braisa over here is really talking from the perspective of him to her.
Does she truma?
So Rabbi Katz asked the question. I don't know the answer. But okay. Klalo shel davar harei ki ishto l'chol davar. That certainly sounds like everything. You don't need a gesheni divrei Rav Yehuda. So that's the opinion of the Tanakama of this Braisa. And the Tanakama of this Braisa is none other than Rav Yehuda. And by the way, this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is, of course, consistent with what we learned back in the Mishnah. Meaning, in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, how do we treat her during those days? So, ke'eshes ish l'chol devareha. So, the Bryce's presentation of Rabbi Yehuda is identical to the Mishnah's presentation of Rabbi Yehuda. That's good. There are three other opinions in this Bryce. Rabbi Meir, Omer, Bielasa, Teluya. Rabbi Meir says that if she has bia with somebody else, Teluya. We'll wait and see. A suspension. To see whether or not she's married or not married. Rabbi Yossi Omer Be'ilah is a Suffolk. Rabbi Yossi says the Be'ilah is a Suffolk. Sounds very similar to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Stay tuned. V'chachamim Omer Megureshes V'ena Megureshes. And then there's a third opinion of the Chachamim, which is that she's divorced and she's not divorced. Uvavat Shiyamos, and again, provided that, of course, he died. Okay, so opinions 2, 3, and 4 in the Braisa are all basically saying the same thing. They're all basically saying, we don't know. And of course we don't know. Meaning that the get was issued. The get was made conditional to the death. He may or may not die. Meaning she may predecease him. So we don't know. So and that's a reflection of the three Tanaim after Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Eishes Ish L'chol Devareha, which again is the same Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah. And then the three opinions following are basically all saying the same thing. And of course, it begs the next question. What's the difference between opinion 2, 3, and 4? So the Gemara says, Mai Ika Bein, Rav Meir L'Rav Yossi. So we'll start with 2 and 3. What's the difference between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi? I'm Rav Yochanan, Hashem Talui Ika Beinayhu. L'Rav Meir L'Maisi Hashem Talui, L'Rav Yossi Maisi Hashem Talui. So number one, a nafkamina between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi is the bringing of a carbon Hashem Talui. Classically, A person who has two pieces of fat in front of him. One is chaylev, one is shuman. Chaylev is aser. Not only is it chaylev aser, but chayve krisos. Shuman, that's the delicious part of the meat that makes meat delicious. That's just the simple fat that's found within the muscle. I have two pieces in front of me. I eat one of the two pieces. I don't know which one I ate. So this is a classic scenario of we don't know whether or not I violate an iser karis or not. So the Torah for that requires us to bring what's called the carbon asham tadli. Okay. The Gemara over here says that if this woman had bia during Yamin Bein Tayim, so that's the machlokus between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi as to whether or not she needs to bring a carbon asham tadli or not. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi goes on to articulate why it is they are debating this point. Rashi, Bielaso Tluya, it's the second line in Rashi. Hadavar Tali Hashemos Hache Ya'amod Michol Izeh. So we're going to see whether he dies or recovers from the illness. He mays min acholi habala hapater till the rameir mashmalei meisha ani ba'olam haynu mishas nesina. According to rameir, when you say meisha ani ba'olam, you really are going back to the time of the nesina. V'hachi kamerla harezigitech meisha ani ba'olam imaysi hilkach kisha maysi glaim ilsa degrusha avai bishas bia v'im lo mays habala b'chatas. And so therefore, Rashi says that according to rameir, basically, we're going to have to wait and see. Because if he dies, it goes retroactive to the time of the nesina. If he doesn't die, if he recovers, so then she's a married woman. Now that's Rameir. Next Rashi, Rabbi Yossi Omer Bilaso Safek. Wait, just 1 second. Lichishiyamos demash maleim eishani baolam. So, and according to Rabbi Yossi says no. Meishani baolam, like we described a couple minutes earlier in the daf, is that it means that the divorce is going to be chal a moment before I died. Now, remember, we made this point already before, but we're going to now make it again. According to Rabbi Yossi, we don't look backwards. We only operate halachically looking forward, right? The way Rashi explained it on the previous Amud, according to Rav Yossi, ein breira. We do not look backwards. And therefore, Rashi over here says, Umiya Masafkalan al Shazbiya, Igrusha Havai Ilo, Shema Zui Shazar Uila Samaklamisa, Shema Eno Zuve Eno Grusha. And so therefore, every moment looking forward is a moment of suffering. Hilkach, Im Yamos Mevi Abba La Hashem Tali, Im Lo Yamos Bechatas Vadai. So here now, because as we move forward and we only move forward, so every moment now is a built-in suffix. Because remember, she's a divorced woman a moment before he dies. We don't know now going forward if this is a moment before he dies. So if she were to be Mizana at this point in time, we have now a built-in suffix which is simply unresolvable. And that's why, according to Rav Yossi, you bring a carbon hashem tadli. See, according to Rav Meir, it's not true. According to Rav Meir, it is a suffix, but with a resolution. Eventually, either he'll die or he's going to recover. And according to Rav Meir, we do have the ability to then look backwards and see whether it was or it wasn't a znus, an act of znus. So that's why, according to Rav Meir, you don't bring an hashem tadli. But because Rav Yossi only moves forward and doesn't move backwards, so that means, according to Rav Yossi, every moment now is a built-in suffix.
Doesn't this apply even if she's mizani but who makes it?
Yeah, right. Because she may not be married.
Because kavan chatat usually you don't bring for mimezit, right?
Right. But we're not talking about the chatat. We're talking about the asham tolui.
The mayor says that you bring kavan chatat afterwards, right?
No. Mimezit. No. I'm sorry. Let's bring this up. Let's do this again. If it's mimezit, there's no carbon talk whatsoever.
Okay.
Okay. So the I'm sorry, Megreshev, I'm sorry. And finally, the Gemara says, okay, so that is the difference between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. So the Rabbi Meir lo maiseh Hashem Tali, Rabbi Yossi maiseh Hashem Tali. V'chachamim omrim, Megreshev v'inu Megreshev. Now, Chachamim hainu Rabbi Yossi. Now again, the Chachamim seem to be saying the same thing as Rabbi Yossi, which is, we don't know. So, Ika Benau, the Rabbi Zerah, Dami Rabbi Zerah, Amar Rabba, Bar Yirmi, Amar Shmuel, Kamakim, Shamu Chachamim, Megreshev. V'inu Megreshev, Balachai, B'mazonosah. So the Gemara says what they're arguing about is the rule of Rabbi Zerah. What's the rule of Rabbi Zerah? A woman is in the state of limbo, of Megreshev, V'inu Megreshev. And you have to look specifically for that term to be used. And we're going to see this in the 8th parak. In the next parak coming up, the classic scenario of Megreshev, V'inu Megreshev, he throws a get at her. Right, and it was not one of his best tosses, and the get lands somewhere between him and her, and it's a suffix karavlo, suffix karavla. So there, we don't know. right? And it's going to be a suspended scenario of it may or may not be a good get, and we simply do not know. And the Gemara's language that we're going to use and we're going to see together in the next parak is Migureshes Veinu Migureshes. Rabbi Zera says under those circumstances, he's got a supporter, which is by the way, very well understood. Meaning, she's in a state of limbo. She may or may not be married. She may or may not be divorced. And it's a suffix that's unresolvable. Now, he can write another get in order to sever, but right now, going forward, she's in a state of limbo. So therefore, you got to support her. Who else is going to support her? And she can't marry somebody else. So that's the rule of Rabbi Zera. Rashi says over here in our Gemara that no one's arguing with Rabbi Zera. Meaning, it's not like the Gemara makes it sound like they're arguing whether they subscribe or don't subscribe to Rabbi Zera. Rashi says that's not the pshat. Rashi says everyone agrees to Rabbi Zera. It's just a question of application. Are we going to apply Rabbi Zera's case to our scenario over here? The Chachamim say yes, we are. And that's why the Chachamim use the language of Megureshes, Evein Megureshes. The code that tells us that we're going to apply Rabbi Zera's rule. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, does not. And Rashi doesn't make this point. I'll make it, although I'm not sure if I'm perfectly accurate in saying so. But probably because, according to Rav Yossi, it's not a perfectly unresolvable situation. Meaning, let's wait and see what's going to happen. He's going to end up dying or recovering, and then the issue will be resolved. So it's not the same like the Gemara over there later on, where he throws it to her. We don't know if it was close to her or close to him, where it's an unresolvable suffix. Okay. Hari Zikitech, let's start the next Mishnah. Hari Zikitech HaMenach Titni Li Masayim Zuz. So Hari Zeh Megureshes V'Titein. Okay, so a little bit of extortion in the Mishnah. I'm sorry I sound so matter of fact about it. It's not right. It's beyond not right. But it's a, He leverages the get, and he gets money out of her as a extortion, basically, so that he would give the get. So he says to her, good, you want the get? Fine. You're going to give me 200 zuz. Harezi megereshes, the gerushin takes effect, vititain, and she, of course, has to give him the 200 zuz. Okay, now, there's going to be more discussed about this particular scenario. Stay tuned in just a moment. We're going to discuss this a little bit better. Let's say he puts a deadline on the money. Not only are you going to give me 200 zuz, but you're going to give it to me within the next 30 days. So the Mishnah says, well, if that's a stipulation, so the money must be submitted within the next 30 days. And if not, the gerushin is not going to be good. The Gemara later on is going to ask the obvious question. Pshita, meaning, again, we're not discussing the ethics and morals of it, we're just discussing the effectiveness of it. If he stipulates, it's a stipulation. What's the Mishnah now contributing with this case over here? Sounds like we knew this already. Gemara's going to ask that question. And then the Mishnah ends off with the story. I'm going to give you the get, but there's a coat, and I want that coat. Okay, I don't know the story behind the coat, but it doesn't matter. Okay, you have a coat, I want the coat, so I'm going to leverage the get so that I can get the coat. So, and that was a tonight. That was a condition put into the get. V'avda ich taliso, and she lost it. So now she's in a bad spot because the get had a contingency to it, and the contingency was the coat. And v'amru chachamim titein lo es dameha. So the chachamim said, "We have the solution. So you don't have the coat anymore, but you want the get to be valid. But the get was contingent on the coat. Give the monetary equivalency of the coat, and all is good."
Why does that work?
Yeah, excellent question. So please wait. There's more to discuss on this story of the Mishnah.
And why in the first case is she divorced? It's nothing.
Okay, so
why did she put the Mishnah first?
Good. Because we haven't seen the Gemara yet. Once we see the Gemara, it's going to be a little bit clearer. My vititain. So let's go over the first case of the Mishnah. First case of the Mishnah, it was a leverage that was done by the husband. I will give you a gift, but I want 200 zuz. And by the way, parenthetically, why is he asking for 200 zuz? Because that's typically what the ksuva is. And basically, when he divorces her, he's going to have to pay her typically 200 zuz. That's the standard ksuva. And basically what he's saying to her is, don't think you're going to be gaining from this divorce. I'll give you, you know, I'm going to have to pay 200 zuz because I'm contractually obligated to do that, but what I'm going to also do from you is I'm going to extract 200 zuz from you for the giving of the get. So that's probably why that number is used in the Mishnah. Anyway, I say that parenthetically. My vetitain. What did the Mishnah mean when it says, and she's going to have to give him the money? So interesting machlokas over here, fundamental machlokas. Rav Huna amar vihi titain. Rav Huna's of the opinion that, vihi titain, and she's going to give the money. Stay tuned, we're going to explain that better in just a moment. Rav Yehuda amar lichishi titain. So, and Rav Yehuda's of the opinion that no, when she gives the money. Meaning as follows. These amarayim, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, are both in agreement that the money, of course, is a tanai. It's a built-in condition to the get. Like we've been discussing now these last number of days, you're right, the husband can do that. The husband can give a get based on, built on a condition. Now, the previous condition was his death. Okay. Here, the condition is a lump sum money payment that she's going to pay him. The question now on the table between these amarayim is the following. She pays the money. When she pays the money, does that mean now that she satisfied the tanai and the get was effective going back retroactive to the time that he gave it? That is the opinion of Rav Huna, or no? Rav Yehuda says, lichishititain. The money is a tanai, but the get will not take effect until the money is paid. Even though he handed her the get a week ago, a month ago, the get is not going to have a chalos, it won't have an effectiveness, until she actually pays the money. Well, let's leave that out of the discussion right now. The Mishnah doesn't mention tanai kafel. It's reasonable to explain why, but right now let's just leave that out. Let's just focus right now on this machlokas. My beinayu yikam ben other gemara says, now the practical difference between them, I mean it's kind of obvious, but the gemara spells out a couple of practical differences. Shnizkari get or sha'avad. Let's say between the issuance of the get and her payment of the money, let's say the get was either torn or just simply lost. So now, according to Rav Huna, it's fine because the payment is going to the payment will be a satisfaction of the condition retroactive to the time of the giving of the get. So even though she currently doesn't have the get, doesn't matter because the get was issued a week ago, a month ago. Her payment is going to validate it retroactive to the time of giving. She doesn't need to actually be holding on to the get right now. Not necessary. Meanwhile, according to Rav Yehuda, lichishe titain. That means that according to Rav Yehuda, no. There is simply no validity in the get until she actually pays. And at the time of payment, she doesn't know where the get is. The get was destroyed. Get's not going to be a good get. You're going to need a new get. So machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, both in agreement that the money obviously needs to be paid in order for the get to be validated. Is it going to be validated retroactive to the time of giving? Or is it only going to be validated right now going forward? The Gemara says, Rav Huna amar vihi titain, and it's tzricha mena get sheni. Rav Yehuda amar lechishi titain, tzricha mena get sheni. Okay. The Gemara just simply spelled out the nafkamina. Pretty straightforward nafkamina. Vitanana migabi kedushin. Now, interestingly, we're going to see it's the same machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda as it relates to kedushin. For example, ki agavne denan. We are going to learn a mishnah together in kedushin, and the mishnah reads as follows: Homer lisha harayam kedushas liamanasha etain lecha masayim zuz. I'm going to marry you, and let's incentivize this a little bit because I understand I'm not the best catch around. So, but let's incentivize it. I'll marry you, and on the condition that I give you 200 zuz. So, harei he mekadeshes. Now, obviously, the kedushin wasn't the money itself, because then we wouldn't be having a discussion. Meaning, he affected the kedushin through, let's say, another small a shava prutas worth of money, or with a shtar. Okay. Anyway, so and obviously the lump sum payment that he promises her is contingent on the kedushin. The kedushin, I should say, better is contingent on the money. Now, harei mekadeshes v'yitain. Now here, the kedushin's good, v'itain, and he's got to give the money. And again, now we're going to have the same exact machlokas. V'itmar. My v'itain, Rav Huna amar v'hu yitain, Rav Yehuda amar lichish yitain. So once again, same machlokas. Rav Huna says he'll give the money, but the kedushin will be effective retroactive to the time of the kedushin. And Rav Yehuda says no, the kedushin will only be effective when and only when he gives her the money. My b'inah, the Gemara says now, what's the practical difference? He gave now shepashi yada v'kibla kedushin me'achir. So over here, the nafkamina would be she accepted kedushin from somebody else. Rav Huna amar v'hu yitain tanai ba'amahu mekayin tanai va'azil. So according to Rav Huna, the kedushin that she accepted from somebody else is not going to be good, because according to Rav Huna, when he pays her the money, she'll be married to him retroactive to the time of the kedushin. She's a married woman; she can't accept kedushin from somebody else. Rav Yehuda amar lichishitain lichiyayiv lahu dahave kedushin hashalo have kedushin. Now, but meanwhile, according to Rav Yehuda, she's not married to this man until he actually pays her the money, and so until that point in time, she's now available. It's not nice for somebody to jump in right now and try to be mekadisher. And we're going to be discussing that in the beginning of the third parak of Kedushin. It's not nice, but Lamaisa, she's not a married woman right now. So, this Machlokas Rav Huna Rav Yehuda is presented both in the world of Gittin and the world of Kedushin. And so, why is it repeated? Sricha. That's the Gemara's next point. I need both. Look, I can understand Rav Huna's position as it relates to Kedushin, because he obviously he wants to get closer to her. He wants to marry her. So, I can understand that. It's not on delay until he pays her the money. No, he wants to marry her right now. But when it comes to Gerushin, maybe it is a delay. Maybe the Gerushin he does not want to take effect until she actually pays him the money. Maybe there's a hope and an expectation that they won't have to divorce. So maybe I could have imagined, says the Gemara, that Rav Huna would agree to Rav Yehuda. V'yashmin gabi Gerushin b'hakama Rav Huna v'hu titein v'yititein mishum d'lo kasev limit ba'ah. Aval gabi kedushin de kesifa limit ba'ay ema model of the Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara says, and look, and we can argue like this. As it relates to the position of Rav Huna, one could easily make the argument that, look, in the case of Kedushin, so who's demanding money from whom? The woman's demanding money from the husband. She's not going to demand it. Either they just got married or they're not married yet. In other words, they just started a relationship. It's the honeymoon period where they tiptoe around each other. She's not going to demand the money from him. So therefore, one can easily imagine that in her mind, the kedushin is not going to be chal until she actually gets the money. Right, yes. But when it comes to gerushin, so. Who's demanding money from whom? The husband is demanding money from his wife. He's not going to be embarrassed. In other words, he'll be demanding. Right, you want the get? I'll give you the money. Otherwise, no. In other words, there is not going to be any type of hesitation on the part of the husband to demand the money. So there you can make the argument that the get should be effective immediately. Money, don't worry, he'll ask for it. So, right? So the Gemara says, so, Eima modele Rav Yehuda, v'yesh min gabi kedushin. And now, the Gemara is just basically going to do the same thing now again, just going in each direction, in the other direction. V'yesh min gabi kedushin, v'akamah Rav Yehuda l'chishi yitain, mishim dekasif limit bayi, v'agabi gerushin, lo kasif limit bayi, ma modele Rav Huna. V'yesh min gabi gerushin, v'akamah Rav Yehuda l'chishi yitain, mishim delerichoka kase, v'agabi kedushin, delerichoka kase, ma modele Rav Huna, tzricha. The Gemara rarely does this, by the way, where the Gemara says over why I would have thought this case, why I would have thought that case, and then the Gemara just simply did the same thing again, just going from the perspective of each other Amara. Okay. Anyway, where do we stand right now? We have this scenario in our Mishnah, where the husband says to his wife, I'm going to give you a divorce, but only if you pay me 200 zuz. She's going to have to pay the 200 zuz. But now we have a machlokas amarayim between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. At when exactly is the get going to be effective? Rav Huna says she'll pay the money, and when she pays the money, the get will be activated retroactive to the time of giving. Rav Yehuda says no. When she gives the money, only from that point is the divorce going to be chal. Meisve, the Gemara now is going to challenge based on a brisa. Hari zikitech amnashe tisne li masayim zuz. Okay, so it's our case. This is a get, but only on the condition that you give me 200 zuz. Vafa pishnikra get, osha nevad, Migureshes. And even though the get was either destroyed or lost, as long as she pays the money, the gerushin will be a good gerushin. Ula achar lo tinase ashititein. Now, just as good, sound advice, don't get married in the interim. Even though, yes, it's true, when she gives the money, it'll go retroactive to the time. But look, she didn't pay the money yet. Don't get married in the interim until she actually pays. She shouldn't get married until she actually pays the money. Anyway, comes out pretty clearly from this brisa that it goes back retroactive to the time of the issuance of the get. Ve'otanya, which parenthetically is a support for Ravuna. Now, ve'otanya, now on top of that, we learned another brisa. Now, if she paid the money, so then there's no zika. Lo nasna zikuka liyavam. But if she didn't pay the money, so then the divorce was not effective. Meaning that she's a widow. Meaning that she's going to now have to deal with the yibum issue. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer no stanis laviv ola achiv ola echad mina krovim. So according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, even though she missed the opportunity to pay her husband the money, she could pay it to her late husband's father, her late husband's brother. I do not want to say her late husband's children, because if her late husband's children, so then there would be no yibum. So, but ad kan lo pligi ella demar savar leave a lowly yershai umar savar leave afila yershai. And over here in this machlokus between the Tanakam and Shimon and Gamliel, the only thing up for debate is whether or not there could be somebody in my place who would accept the money. However, v'kule ama mia tanai have. So, but everyone's in agreement that if she pays the money, not only does it satisfy the condition, but it goes back retroactive to the issuance of the get. To yufta de Rav Yehuda. And obviously now all this is going to reflect a significant difficulty for the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says that the get will only be effective at the time of the actual payment. And two braises we just went through that clearly don't agree with that position. No, that the Gemara.
He doesn't say when it's chal. He just says that once he dies, he can't do anything.
No, he does say when it's chal, because the Tanakhama says that if she pays the money, so then it goes back retroactive.
Right. Say to when? When she gave the money means once he dies, she can't give the money anymore. But she gave it before he died.
She gave it before.
Right.
So you have to look at the time of comma.
The Gemara's assumption is that they're not debating that point. Okay. So Amlecha Rav Yehuda Hamani Rebihi. So the Gemara says, okay. So in defense of Rav Yehuda, we're going to now take out another Tana, and that is specifically Rebbe. The Amar Rav Huna Amar Rebbe. Okay, an interesting shalshalas over here. Rav Huna says in the name of Rebbe. Now, again, Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav, and Rav was a Talmud of Rebbe. So, could be that's the connection, but anyway. So, I'm Rav Huna, I'm a Rebbe. Kol HaOmer Amanas, Ka'omer Me'achshav Dami. So, according to Rebbe, when you say the word Amanas, Amanas is tantamount to saying Me'achshav. Upligi Rabban Aleha, and we know that the Chachamim argue on that position of Rebbe, V'ana D'Amri K'Rabbanan. And Rabbi Yehuda will say, I'm sorry, and Rav Yehuda will say, and I subscribe to the position of the Chachamim argue on Rebbe. So, and so therefore when you say Amanas, Amanas does not necessarily mean from this point going forward, Me'achshav. And that means then, that's why the get will be delayed until the actual payment of the money. Now, V'amar Rav Zera, Ki Avinim B'Bavol Aminan, Had Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rebbe, Kol Omer Amanas, Kol Omer Achshav Dami, Pligi Rabbanan Aleha. Now, Rabbi Zera says, look, you know Rabbi Zera made Aliyah? Right, the Gemara Ksuvos, not so long ago, some time ago. Rabbi Zera made Aliyah. So he is describing over here the Torah that he learned in Bavel versus the Torah that he learned in Eretz Yisrael. Here in Bavel, I was always of the opinion that on this issue of how to understand Amanas, it's a machlokes between Rabbi and the Chachamim. However, ki saliki, but when I made Aliyah and I went to Eretz Yisrael, ashkechisa l'Rabbi Asi, diyasa v'kama mishmei to Rabbi Yochanan, now I'm learning the Torah of Rabbi Yochanan. And I learned there, ha'komodim ba'omer amanas ka'omer me'achshav dami. That when you say amanas, no machlokes. It's not just shitas Rabbi. Everybody agrees amanas means me'achshav. Lo nechluku ela b'mehayom u'la'achamisa. The only thing up for discussion is when you throw out the ambiguity of mehayom u'la'achamisa. V'atanya, and the Gemara says, I'm going to quote a braisa supporting this very position. Right, this V'atanya is nichusa. So that's exactly the point, meaning that only in this case of Me'yom Alachemisa we have a machlokus. Ula Rav Yehuda Damar Amanas Pligi. So now, according to Rav Yehuda, who's of the opinion that they're arguing in the case of Amanas? So why not have the machlokus in the scenario of Amanas? Why are you moving on to the case of Me'yom Alachemisa? So the Adicha Kocha de Rebbe. So the Gemara says, well, to show off the position of Rebbe. Even in the case of Me'yom Alachemisa, Rebbe still of the opinion that this is a get. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, well, why not argue in the case of Amanas and show off the position of the Chachamim Koch Zetera Diflei? Because if I have two opportunities, one to show off a more makel position and one to show off a more machmer position, it is always better to show off the makel position. This is what the Gemara here refers to as Koch Zetera Adif. We learned earlier, and this is a Rashi in the beginning of Masechta Beitzah as well, that says, what's the idea behind Koach Deitera Adif? Anybody could be Machmir. It doesn't take much to be Machmir. I could be Machmir. It's easy. Because I don't know. You know what? Let's err on the side of caution. It doesn't mean I actually have a position. It just simply means I'm going to be Machmir. When you're being Makel, obviously you have enough confidence. You obviously have Yir Shemaim. You don't want to do the wrong thing. And you have enough confidence in your position where you're going to say, Makel. Here, if we're expressing the position that the get is a valid get, that's obviously, that person who's saying that, in this case Rebbe, is obviously being is very confident in his position, and that's why it's better off to show off that position. Okay, so where do we stand right now in the Gemara? So, on the scenario in which the husband says to the wife, I'm going to give you a get, but only on the condition that you pay me 200 zuz. So the Mishnah says the gerushin is good. The Mishnah says that she has to pay the money. And then the machlok is between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. When she pays the money, obviously it's a satisfaction of a condition, and it makes the get effective from what point in time? Rav Huna says retroactive to the time of the issuance of the get, and Rav Yehuda says no. The get will only be effective now and at this point going forward. The Gemara quoted First, the Gemara pointed out that this machlokus also exists by kedushin. The Gemara then explained the tzrichusa between the two. The Gemara quoted two braises that favor the position of Rav Huna over that of Rav Yehuda. The Gemara attempts to give a defense of Rav Yehuda, although admittedly it seems to be a difficult defense because in Eretz Yisrael it wasn't even open for a debate. Okay, moving along. Next case in the Mishnah was dealing with a scenario in which, same basic story, he's squeezing 200 zuz out of her for the divorce, and he puts a deadline on it. Now, Pshita, the Gemara says, okay, what did we learn in the Mishnah? If she meets the deadline, the get's good. If she doesn't meet the deadline, gets no good. Gemara's question is, it's obvious. Ma'u detema kepeda lav kepeda, ulazar zakasi kamashmalan. Maybe it's not a real hakpan on the part of the husband. He said 30 days, just to basically motivate her, to pay her the money. But it's not actually part of the condition, and it's not part of the contingency. And that's a havamina, and the Mishnah is telling me that no, it is part of the contingency. And then we get on to the final story of the Mishnah, and that's the story of the coat. And the story of the coat is that she was holding onto a coat. He wanted the coat. He says to her, I'll give you the get, but only on the condition that you give me back the coat. Turns out she goes into the closet. She lost the coat. What am I supposed to do? So the Mishnah then says that the Chachamim were asked this question, and the Chachamim said, give him the monetary equivalency of the coat. Okay, and that'll work. Now, my tani, my sechasur mechsav achi tani. So the Gemara says, first of all, we have a piece missing in the Mishnah, because what does the coat have anything to do with what was mentioned previously in the Mishnah? I mean, it's not totally out of left field. I mean, it has to do with conditions, and the theme of the Mishnah is conditions, but still, where did it come up? So the Gemara says, Imam Dafka Kamar La. So the Gemara says, here's the part that we're missing in the Mishnah. There actually is a machlokus in the Mishnah on this very point. Meaning, there is a Tanakhama's position, which we don't have actually have in the Mishnah, And as Tosfos points out himself, we don't like to make more machlokas, but it will become obvious that not everyone agrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So basically, we know, we have a Mesorah that the Tanna Kamma argues, and we're now just filling it into the Mishnah. And that is, the Tanna Kamma's position is, if he's demanding a coat, well, the only way the get's going to work is if she can produce a coat. If she can't produce a coat, then his contingency was not met. That's the Tanna Kamma. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer Titein Lo Estameha. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel on this point says no. For him, the monetary value of the coat will serve as an equivalency and a satisfaction of the Tanai. And then, now we understand how the story comes up in the Mishnah based on the smachlokes between the Tanna Kamma and Shimon Gamliel. Let's say the husband, at the time of the issuance of the get, so angry, emotional, he says, this get is only going to be good if you give me 200 zuz. Okay, like we've been discussing. But then a little bit of time goes by, and he calms down a little bit, and he goes over to his whatever, right, ex-wife, you know, some soon to be ex-wife, and he says to her, you know what, I'm ochel. Now, it's an interesting mechila. It's a mechila on a monetary payment that hasn't yet come to in his hands yet. It's a monetary obligation because it was part of a condition built into the get. So now, can he be mochel? So ma'u, tibay l'rabbanan, tibay l'rishim and gamlil. And the Gemara says, now look, I can ask this question two ways. Tibay l'rabbanan, I can ask according to the Chachamim, because remember what the Chachamim said just a moment ago? If he's demanding a coat, she's got to produce a coat. Anything short of that, and it's no good. So the Gemara says, "Ad kan lo kamer rabban hasam elada lo achla gabav ahacha hakamar la machle lach mechulin lach." So the Gemara says, "Look, according to the Chachamim, in the case of the coat, nothing will substitute the coat because he wants the coat, so nothing will be a fair substitute. Over here, he's saying mechulin lach, so maybe it's different." Now, according to Rishim and Gamliel, money could serve as a substitute for the coat. And do you know why? Because it's money. Because she's giving him a monetary equivalency to the coat. So she's pacifying him. Over here, however, even though he says mechulam lach, lamaisa, at the time of the issuance of the get, he wanted something. You can't substitute something with nothing. So legamilo amalei in a megareshes. So interesting answer. Not a good gerushin. Meaning, if at the time of the issuance of the get he's demanding 200 zuz, he can't be mochel. Eitz ve the gemara says interesting. Let me ask you the following question. Ha'amar lechaver konen shatanen ali imi atanosin livni kor echad shochitim v'shtei chavios shel yayin. Guy's fed up with his friend. Just fed up. I'm giving a little bit of context over here. We did this back in Adarim. Right? He takes. He doesn't give anything back to me. Enough with this guy. So he says, you know what? I'm making the following neder. You're not going to get any benefit from me until I get a little bit back from you. Enough with all the freeloading. So you're gonna give me some wheat, 2 barrels of wine. Then and only then is the neder going to be lifted. But until you give that to me, you are bound by neder. You're not going to get any benefit from me. I've had it with you. So Rav Meir Omer Aser Aichi Yitain. So Rav Meir says, okay, now you want the neder to come to a conclusion? The other person's got to give what the person's demanding. The Chachamim Omerim Av Ze Yachol Atir Es Nidro Shelo Api Chacham VeOmer Hareini Keilu His Gabalti. And the Chachamim say, with one word, we can do away with all this, and that is his kabalti. The man, after some time, says, you know what, I know he's a freeloader, but, you know, he's my friend. And okay, and I just have to come to terms. And I know I was so demanding, and I made a neder, and the only way to lift the neder is only if he gives it to me. You know what? His kabalti. I'm going to treat you as if you gave it to me. Okay, and let's put it behind us. So what do you see over there? That the his kabalti is ki'ilu, like you received it. So shouldn't we say the same thing over here? The husband was demanding 200 zuz, and then later he's like, okay, you know what? I'm ochel. Hachi Asha, the Gemara says, yeah, but you really can't compare the cases, and I'll tell you why. Because Hasan, let's do it, Kamechav and Velot Tiara. Hacha Mishum Harvacha Hu, Vahalo Itzterech. So the Gemara says, look, oh, now we're going to just flip the words around. Hacha, meaning, I know the Gemara says Hasan, but Hacha over here, in the case of the get, Litzuri Kamechavin, Velot Tiara. So over here, obviously, when he was intent on, I'm not giving you the get until you give me 200 zuz, he obviously was trying to cause distress to her. So he's trying to cause distress to her. So the Gemara says, one can make the argument that the only way the get's going to be effective is only if she's properly distressed. Masha Ain came over there with the freeloader. Over there, he just wanted something in return. And you know what? Okay, we're good. I don't need it. Okay. Let's finish up with the following. It's a story of the day. How governed Amalei Larisi Kuleama? You know what? Let's stop over here. We'll start. Story of the day will be story of tomorrow. Okay. So again, the last bit of Gemara that we just did, a scenario in which he put a contingency of 200 zuz in order for the get to be effective. Can he be mochel that 200 zuz? So what we have over here is the psak of the Gemara was he can't be mochel. How is that different than the case of the guy who basically made a neder against his freeloader friend, and then he can say he's kabalti? Answer, it's different. Here in the case of get, he's looking to be mitzarer. That's why he can't be mochel. In the case of the freeloader, he could say he's kabalti. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up.